And now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I'm so glad you're with me today. Now, in today's program of World of Prophecy, I want to play for you an audio tape. It's a message that I delivered at a recent Bible prophecy conference in Winnipeg, Canada. I'll tell you, friends, it was an exciting time there in Canada as the Christian community got together and pretty well filled up the auditorium of the historic Calvary Church in Winnipeg. Now, there was a lot of controversy about my going to Canada in the first place. It's so very fascinating to me that a man named Peter Warren invited me to be a guest on his secular radio talk show. Now, what I didn't know was that Mr. Warren is an atheist who evidently despises and hates born-again Christians. And when he got me on the air over the radio there in Canada, this popular radio talk show, he blasted me every which way because I stood up for God's word. Peter Warren was very angry. He said that born-again Christians made him sick. He demanded that I stop quoting the Bible on the air. He didn't want anybody to quote the Bible to him on the air. Said he didn't want anybody to pray for him. He was going to get a bottle of liquor and some women, and if that sent him to hell, then so be it. Well, I tried to be as nice as I could to Mr. Warren. I found out that Peter Warren, the host, was evidently sort of working in cahoots with one of the witchcraft groups there in town to try to defame me. As a matter of fact, this witchcraft group, headed by a woman named Holly, went down to the police department and filed formal charges against Tex Mars and asked the Canadian police to arrest me and throw me in jail. Now, why did she do that? What was her charges? Well, she said that I was preaching hate. And there's a law in Canada against hate crimes. Now, what kind of a hate was I teaching? Well, she said that I was against witchcraft. She said that I was against the New Age cults and religions. And that made Tex Mars, she said, a hater and a violator of Canada's new Hate Crimes Act. Well, obviously the police didn't do it. They didn't arrest me. I had a great time in Canada. Holly, the witch that I just mentioned, even called up. Peter Warren, of course, set it all up. She called right on the radio and tried to put me down. She said, Tex Mars, in your book, New Age Cults and Religions, you show hatred toward the witches and toward Freemasonry and toward... I said, no, I show love. I show love toward witches and members of the Church of Satan and all of the various New Age cults and Hindu and Buddhist religions. I show love because I want every person involved in those groups to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and have the joy and contentment that only Jesus Christ can give a person. That's not hate, that's love. Because in the Bible, John said that God is love. That's the message I gave across Canada on that secular talk show as the witches and the masons and the evolutionists called to batter me over the air, but they didn't succeed. Why? Not because, my friends, I'm such a great debater. Oh, no. All I had to do was to deliver the simple message of the gospel. Now, in this message that you're going to be hearing, I'm going to be talking about that simplicity of the gospel that the Apostle Paul talked about. You see, there is no doubt that we're moving into a new world order, into the last days. I'm convinced that hard times are about to happen. The worst thing of all that is occurring is the pollution of God's Word, or perhaps I should say, the attempted pollution of God's Word, because God's Word is eternal. He said that He would preserve it, keep it, guard it, and He does. And that's why we have God's pure Word today, a Bible that you can believe in and trust, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. Now, there are, however, false Bible versions. They are leading us, my friends, into an Antichrist New World Order, into a one-world religion, a mystery Babylon religion. And that's what this message is going to tell you about. Now, I have to warn you, the taping wasn't quite as good as I hoped it would be. The intro is a little rough. In fact, it just starts with me just suddenly in the middle of the sentence. Well, I think there's a lot of information between that and the end. At the end, he sort of cuts it off abruptly, too. And I'm sure the man doing the taping was a Christian volunteer, and he was trying to do a good job. So a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end seems to be cut off of this tape, but there's a lot of information packed in, documentation, evidence that you need to know and to tell your friends and loved ones, warn them about these false Bible versions that are leading to the Antichrist New World Order. Now, would it surprise you to know that the NIV and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version and the Douay Rheims Bible of the Catholics and the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, would it surprise you to know that all of these came from the same source and originally from the devil's own pen? No, it should not at all, because the Bible in the book of Daniel warns us that the Antichrist will speak in dark sentences. Dark sentences. Oh, my friends, that is exactly what these false versions are. Dark sentences. You know, the makers and the promoters of the new Bible versions have fallen victim to the same lie that Satan told Eve in the garden. He said, "You can be like God." Well, so too, the makers of the new versions and their believers and promoters say that they too are like God. They speak for God. They are God. They correct God's word when it doesn't please them. They say they can do it better. They can make a Bible of their own understanding. They'll take out the things they don't like. One of the people who was on the actual committee that composed or put together the popular New International Version of the Bible now is an acknowledged lesbian homosexual, Dr. Virginia Mollenkott. No wonder words like sodomy and sodomizers are now left out of the Old Testament. Did Mollenkott have something to do with it? Possibly so. The NIV is an abomination, as are all of the other versions of the Bible. King James. Where did the King James Bible come from? My friends, first, the Bible was written by the prophets and the apostles. And then manuscripts were copied and sent around to the churches. The church of Antioch, where Paul was commissioned to go out to the other Gentiles. That's where the manuscripts came from that underlie the King James Bible. Now, where did the manuscripts come from that underline the other ones? From, believe it or not, Alexandria, Egypt. Supposedly the Christian church at Alexandria, Egypt is the source of the manuscripts which underlie the newer Bible versions. So you see, they come from different Greek manuscripts. Many people will lie to you and they'll say, well, no Bible translation is correct. Exactly. None are perfect. Not the new versions, not the King James, they'll claim. But the originals are correct. The originals were inspired. What a bunch of nonsense that is, my friends. That's double talk, double speak, liars. Double-minded men and women would say such things. Because you can't go back to the originals. Because all of these evil so-called Bible scholars, egghead intellectuals teaching at seminaries, are using different manuscripts. They're using a Greek manuscript, for example, that came out of Alexandria, Egypt, even though God said, come out of Egypt. Even though it was in Alexandria where the Alexandrian heresies began, Gnosticism, New Age, that's right, New Age occult teachings. that Jesus was not truly God, that he didn't come in the flesh. That came out of Alexandria, Egypt. Origen was one of the early professors of this false Gnostic gospel. That's the Bible manuscript, so-called, a Greek manuscript that came out of Alexandria. You can find it in the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, and all the other false versions. Now they're coming like a flood, the Living Bible, etc., etc. So these are coming like a flood today, but friends, there is a real Bible. God said he'd totally preserve it, and he has. It's the King James Bible. The fingerprints of the great red dragon are all over the new versions. You'll see that in the talk I'm going to give now to you. But remember, where there are counterfeits, there must be a real, and there is a real. And so now, without further ado, we're going to start the tape for the message that I delivered in Winnipeg. May it be a blessing to you. Now, at the end of this message, I'm going to come back for just a couple of minutes to wrap up things. So stay with us even after the message is over. God bless you, my friends. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to World of Prophecy. And now for the message about the new Bible versions and the Antichrist New World Order.
But today, I'm not going to talk to you about the New Age movement or the world conspiracy. I will a little bit later on in my talks. But I would like to propose to you that there is another plot. Another plot. In fact, it is the greatest and most wicked plot in the history of the world. You see, the devil has a most notorious and successful plot that's been going on for a long, long time. What am I talking about? Simply this. The plot and conspiracy against the very Word of God. Now, you can preach about many things, and it will very little harm the devil. But I'm telling you, friends, since God inspired the prophets and the apostles to write down the words that God gave, the devil has been in the field of battle attempting to pervert, undermine, and subvert the Word of God. And this is only normal. It is only the natural thing for Satan to do. Because if you can destroy and undermine and pollute the Word of God, the souls of men will follow in a great train and procession. You see, nothing compares, does it, with the Word of God? Do you know of anything? How were you saved if you are born again this morning? But by the Word of God. Now, some people would say, now wait, I believe in the living Jesus. Let's not emphasize the Word of God. Let's not exalt the Bible. We make of the Bible an idol if we exalt it. My friend, in John 1, we see that Jesus is the Word of God. In Philippians, we find that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But, the Scriptures also say that God magnifies His Word above His name. Now imagine, friends, if you are to bow at the name of Jesus, and I'm telling you, even the devils tremble at that name. If we bow at the name of Jesus, imagine the power in the Word of God. Because God magnifies His Word above His name. And I propose to you that a man or a woman cannot love God and despise His Word. It is an impossibility. A man or woman cannot love his word and detest God. Because there is no split between God and his word. The word is God. God is the word. And both are exalted in the heavens and on earth and even below. And I'm here to tell you too, my friends, there will be no one in heaven who disrespects and dishonors the Word of God. No one. Oh, all of the New Age cult leaders testify of Jesus. You'd be surprised what good things they say about that Master Jesus. Of course, when you get down to the brass tacks, you will find that he is the same as Buddha and Lao Tse and Confucius and Mohammed. But oh, what great things they say about Jesus. And you know, there are even many false Bibles. One that I have, in fact, I have a whole library of false Bibles that I've researched. There's one called the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. Oh, it's for the Aquarian age, you see. There's another that sounds so Christian and so wonderful. It's called A Course in Miracles. And they go on and on with false Bibles produced by the New Age, all of which testify to another Jesus and another gospel. Revelation 22 is the very finale of the whole Bible. It's amazing to me that in the beginning, in Genesis, God divided. Did you know that God is divisive? Did you know that? What I'm going to talk about this morning will be divisive. But God, in the very beginning, divided the light from the darkness. Oh, my friend, God is the great divider. He pulls out those who will be of the light and separates them from the darkness. Aren't you glad you're part of that great light that is Jesus Christ? That's how the Bible starts, with God dividing the light from the darkness. And you know how it ends? With a warning. Mess with my word. This is Texas paraphrased. Mess with my word. Change it. Add to it. And God says this will be your destiny. Your name will be taken out of the book of life of the Lamb. And all of the plagues of Revelation will be your lot. Now I want you to understand, that's how much God thinks of his word. Can you imagine? He leaves all 66 books of the Bible with this frightening warning. Don't touch my word. And you know what? I don't think any true Christian wants to touch his word, because we cherish it in our heart. Because the word has the power, we read in Romans, to salvation. Cherish and honor God's word, and you will be gloriously alive for all of eternity. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No wonder God holds his word in such esteem. We would not have salvation, such great salvation, without his word. Now, if it is by the word of God that salvation comes, then what would the devil most want to undermine and destroy? Of course, his word. And thus we find some very unusual prophetic passages in Job. Oh, Job is a great book of prophecy. You'd be amazed. There's all kinds of prophecy in the Bible. In Job chapters 40 and 41, and I wish I had time to read it, but I want you to on your own. You'll be blessed. You see, in Revelation 13, we read of these two great beasts that will come upon the earth. One rises out of the sea, the second out of the earth. The second one causes all mankind to worship after the first beast. And of course, we have the taking of the mark. We have the man, the Antichrist, with 666, the image of the beast. All of those horrid things to come upon the earth. Two beasts. Job 40, 41 also has two beasts. The first one is called Behemoth. Oh, he's mighty. He is, his bones are like brass, like iron. He tramples the earth. Now, he has a special mission, Behemoth does, because we read in Job that it is he who sucks the living waters out of the River Jordan. Oh, yes, that's his mission. Jesus said, I'm the living waters. Drink of me and my waters and you'll never thirst again. But Behemoth, the beast, sucks up those living waters and he makes of the world a dry desert. And he fulfills the prophecies of Amos that in the last days there will be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of the teaching of the Word of God. And it says, and for those of you who have driven and flown many miles to this conference, I'm glad you did. You have fulfilled prophecy. Because it says very clearly in the book of Amos that people will even traverse across the seas. They'll go great distances. They'll be so hungry for the Word of God, and they can't hear it in their hometown or their church. They'll travel. They'll be so hungry. And my friends, this is the time we're on. This is the time of victory, even in the last days for the Christian. Because there are people out there now asking questions. And if you don't tell them that Jesus is coming again, and of the things of the last days, they'll seek after Nostradamus. They'll seek after the Celestine Prophecy, a New Age so-called prophecy book, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Oh, the devil has a lot of prophecies out there. But people are hungry today. They want to know the future. Every time you turn on the TV, there's specials, ancient prophecies. What does the future foretell? And only those who know Jesus have an answer for the whole world. And look at this great church. So few and so much hunger throughout the world for the last days. So Behemoth, the first beast, comes, and he takes away the Word of God, those living waters. He dries up the Jordan, and he paves the way. He paves the way for the second beast to come upon the world. That second beast, Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon, that old serpent, Satan. And Job chapter 41, the last verse, makes it very clear who Leviathan is, as if you didn't know from Isaiah, for example, that piercing serpent. It says that he is king of the people who are filled with pride. Those who are prideful and have rejected God, Leviathan, the serpent, is their king. But I want you to understand something. The events of the last days, all of the horrors of the book of Revelation, all of the hideous things that will happen because the fourth kingdom comes upon the earth, according to the prophet Daniel, the way is paved by Behemoth, who makes of the world a desert devoid of the healing water of Jesus Christ. Now, please understand, God makes it clear the importance of His Word. Let me read you just a few verses, and all of you have heard these, but I want you to take it to heart this morning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can't get rid of God's Word. You can't burn them. You can't take a penknife, as one Old Testament king did, and try to rip them up. You can't throw them in the ocean. They float just like ivory back up to the top. All Scripture, we see in 2 Timothy, every word is given by inspiration of God, not by the men themselves. Some say, well, wait, the Bible has to be contaminated because it came through men. Nonsense. It didn't come through men. It came through God. And the men were simply instruments. And I'm telling you, they could no more change or add to the Word of God than a monkey can speak literate English. They couldn't do it. They can't do it. The Word of God is eternal. And I'm telling you, my friends, the Bible says in Psalm 119 that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Dave Reese talked about keeping your mind on heavenly things. I'm telling you, the Word of God is something mighty and heavenly. And it's settled. You know what that means? It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. One prophetic teacher recently wrote in his newsletter, The Berean Call, and he said, I prefer the King James, but when I believe the other versions are better worded, I use them. Oh, that won't work. You can't prefer one word of God and say, but I'll use the other whenever I want to. This isn't some kind of 12-step program. It's not the Bible as you understand it. It's the Bible as God gave it to His prophets and apostles. And that's the way it is, friends. You can't serve two masters. Or you'll be like in the Civil War. The man who said, wow, I don't like all these bullets and all these cannonballs flying around. I think I'll wear a suit coat that's gray, like the rebels wear, but I'll wear the pants that are blue, like the Union troops wear. And I'll be protected. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you know what happened to him. In the heat of battle, both sides shot at him. Both sides shot at him, one at the gray, one at the blue. It won't work, my friends. There is only one Bible. There is only one way. There is only one God. There is only one heaven. There is only one salvation. There is only one Holy Spirit. The Bible. There are many reasons we should trust the Bible. Not too long ago, I debated the man who is sort of a John the Baptist or Lord Maitreya, the New Age Christ. The debate was very interesting. We were supposed to go an hour and a half, and I think it went about three and a half hours because the phone calls just kept coming in and in and in. It was the most popular talk show in the state of Texas, in Austin, Texas. And Benjamin Krim got very upset at me because, you see, he kept talking about his Lord Maitreya, the New Age Christ, and all of the wonderful things of the plan, the divine plan of Maitreya. And I kept quoting the scriptures, the King James Bible. And he said, but you don't understand. Jesus was the Christ for the old Piscean age. We're now into the Aquarian age. And Lord Maitreya, the Lord and Master of all religions. He's the Imam Mahdi of the Muslims. He is the one the Jews have been looking for. He is the Christian Christ for our age. And I said, but the scriptures say that he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ is of the Antichrist. Now, Benjamin got very upset. He's a very articulate gentleman from Great Britain, and he has that wonderful, melodious British accent. But he literally became tongue-tied. And he said, you know what the problem is with you, Mr. Mars? You're just like all those other fundamentalist Christians. You have no mind of your own. All you can do is quote that Bible. And I said, Benjamin, that's absolutely right. You see, why do I need to use my own puny mind when the greatest intelligence in the universe gave me this book? I'll use it instead. Well, I can tell you who won that debate, my friends. The Word of God, not Tex Mars. But today, confusion reigns in Christendom. You see, we don't have one Word of God. We have many Words of God. We have the New International Version, 1978. We have the New King James Version, 1982. We have the Living Bible, 1971. We have one called the Message, 1993. We have the New American Standard Bible, 1963. We have the New Century Version, 1983. We have the Amplified Bible, 1964. Oh, there are many Bibles. And you see, if you don't like one, it's like Baskin-Robbins. There's 31 flavors. Go get another one that you like better. They're preparing the way for the Antichrist to come by destroying, by undermining the Word of God. And I've done much research on this, my friends. And I'm going to be talking about this very short time this morning. But when we talk about the worldwide church of the devil, I'm telling you, Leviathan is on his way. And he is being prepared. His way is being made smooth by these new versions, these satanic new versions of the Bible. They are from the very pit of hell. I can prove that to you. I will prove that to you while I'm here. And it will be a divisive issue, and it must be a divisive issue, because this is a bigger issue than the world conspiracy or the New Age movement or what Clinton's or your prime minister does. This is the issue of the ages, the Word of God.
Hello, friends. This is Sandra Shepherd. I'm the ministry assistant to Tex and Wanda Mars for World of Prophecy. In just a moment, we will return to Tex's thrilling message about the new Bible versions and the Antichrist New World Order. But now, I'd like to remind our friends, if you are not receiving our monthly Flashpoint newsletter, you are missing a blessing. To receive it absolutely free in the United States, simply call toll-free 1-800-234-9673. And now we continue with Texmar's inspirational message.
And it will be a divisive issue, and it must be a divisive issue, because this is a bigger issue than the world conspiracy, or the New Age movement, or what Clinton's or your prime minister does. This is the issue of the ages, the Word of God. And if you're not fit for the battle, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And neither am I. Well, in the short time I have left here this morning, I want to tell you just some of the reasons why I'm convinced that these new versions are no different than the New Age false Bibles. Here's one, for example, the lost teachings of Jesus. Oh, you didn't understand. Our Bible doesn't have it all. There are lost teachings of Jesus. And here, Elizabeth Clare Prophet will tell you all about it. This is available at B. Dalton or Walden Books or whatever. Here's a new one. You see, the Dead Sea Scrolls are very popular. And although they do seem to point to a Messiah who was pierced, nevertheless, the Dead Sea Scrolls, I believe, are a bunch of trash put forward by the Essene cult, a Gnostic cult. Listen, we've already been given the Bible, my friends. Don't seek after some scrolls that were found in some jar, in fragments, and brought to the Rockefeller Museum so that the Vatican Jesuit priest could pore over them for 4 decades and come out with a bunch of silly pronouncements. You've already been given the Bible. But like the evolutionists, they say, but you see, everything changes with new archaeological discoveries. I mean, the Bible has to change. We keep looking for older and better manuscripts. And every time we find a new manuscript, we're going to change the Bible and improve it. And I hearken back to the word of Jesus. He said, it is written. My friends, he didn't say it is written again and again and again. He didn't say it's written and then revised after you find new archaeological discoveries. It is written. What version did he use? He seemed to be very assured of himself. He stood up in the temple. He said, this is the acceptable day of the Lord. What version was it? I'm telling you, it was God's version. It was preserved. The writings of Moses. Oh, the climatic conditions of this earth do not allow for books, for parchment to last more than a few hundred years. It will crumble into dust. Not God's word. It'll be copied over and over and over again and preserved forever and ever, for it is forever settled in heaven. The Essene Gospel of Peace, the lost scrolls of the Essene Brotherhood. This is a gentleman who says he studied in the Vatican and he found these lost scrolls to give to the world. Then there's a book called The New Teachings for an Awakening Humanity by Jesus. And there's so many more. And I'm going to talk about that later on. And then, of course, if you like... If you don't want to, I mean, you're too educated, you're too informed to go after the lost teachings of Jesus or the Aquarian gospel of Jesus the Christ, aren't you? Well, maybe you'll like this one. This is an article from the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson, Arizona, August 16th. Cursing and violence used to sell teens on Bible. You see, the teenagers, they don't understand the King James Bible. And they're so used to cursing and profanity and things like that. So they've got a new Bible. Why, it's on LaserDisc for their computers. Let me read to you what Mr. Gary Rowe of Turner Educational Services says about this new Bible on disc for your teenagers. He says, remember, this was in their board meeting. Remember, if we don't like this, then the kids probably will. Think about that, parents. Can you imagine a mother and a father? Yeah, we don't like it, but little Joe will. We don't like it, but Kimberly will. What kind of leadership is that? It's devil's leadership. That's what it is. Cursing and violence. Oh, the Bible contains all kind of profanity, but that's the real world for teenagers today in the ghettos, isn't it? The devil's books, that's what they are. Let's look at this very carefully. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Now, if you don't have the King James Bible, you're just going to have to sort of follow me, but I'll tell you what each one says. Here's what the King James Bible says. You see, this is the place in the Bible when an occultist or a New Ager comes to me and says, prove to me that Lucifer is Satan. I can do it if I use the King James Bible. But if you don't have it, you're lost, my friends. Here's what the King James says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And by the way, Isaiah continues on and says, your destiny is the pit of hell. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Jesus said in Luke, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Why do you think the SS Gestapo used the lightning bolt as their symbol? Satan, fallen from heaven. The dark angel who rebelled against God and was cast down like lightning fall from heaven. And the King James says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? But wait, the NIV and the New American Standard in these false versions, what do they say? How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? I think that refers to Jesus. It could. Where's Lucifer? He's missing. Well, I bet the old devil likes that NIV and New American Standard a whole big bunch. Gail Ripplinger told me that one of the students came up to her in her class. She's written the outstanding book, New Age Bible Versions. And people hate it because it is truthful, and that's the only reason. She says her student said, I don't understand this passage. I thought Jesus was the morning star. She said, that refers to Lucifer. They said, not in my Bible, and you know they were right. Lucifer, taken out of the Old Testament. But that's not all. In the new versions, you're not going to find hell either. Every time it says hell in the King James, it's been changed to grave. Oh, Dr. Jack Kevorkian will like that. He was asked recently this question. Dr. Kevorkian, what happens when you die? His answer, you rot. The grave. Well, the King James has a whole different answer. You better be prepared to meet your maker. There is a place called hell of everlasting torment and burning and judgment. But not in the new versions. Oh, the devil must have loved that little juicy tidbit to be taken out. There's no hell in the new versions. We got a problem, my friends, with these false Bibles. And I find it very ironic. You can turn to chapter 11 of Luke, and you'll see the Lord's Prayer. I was at a prophecy conference down in Denver, Colorado. A couple came up with their little girl, and I asked her to recite the Lord's Prayer. And she did. And then she said, with a very beaming face, light almost shining in her eyes, she said, we even sing it in our church. Our Father, which art in heaven. And that is a glorious song. And I told her parents, you know, you can't sing it if you use the NIV. Here's what it says. Father, this is the NIV. Father, that's the first line. Is there anything missing? Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, the New Age doesn't teach of a heaven. They just teach of the spirit world. And you're born over and over and over again through reincarnation and karma. Father, that's all that the NIV has. And Luke, which art in heaven, is gone. It's been deleted, omitted, changed. Next verse, or sentence, line. Hallowed be your name. Next one. Your kingdom come. What's missing there, my friends? Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's missing. God's will is missing. Well, I think the devil would love that, don't you? The next one, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. But wait, now there's one line missing. Do you know what it is? The line that the devil hates? And lead us not into temptation, but what? But deliver us from evil. You see, Jesus said, pray to God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But the devil's Bible says, don't worry about praying that. There's no but deliver us from evil, is there? No, my friends, this is not the Lord's Prayer. And when I recited this, the little girl, 12 years old, said, that's not the Lord's Prayer. 12 years old, she knew. Why is it that the great scholars and the scribes don't know? It's because they're filled with a spirit of deception, of evil. No wonder Jesus said, woe to the scribes. They build lies based on man's traditions and not paying attention to the Word of God. Did you know, my friends, that Jesus' name is removed 73 times from the New American Standard? Does that send you a message? 73 times the name of Jesus is taken out of the New American Standard, and 38 times from the NIV. Does that tell you something? The name of Jesus? Let me give you some examples. Ephesians 3, verse 9. God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Guess what? It's not there in the new versions. By Jesus Christ. It's missing. Here's another one. Acts 8:37. Here was a man, and by the way, I've used this before. People have said, how can I be saved? How can I know that I'll enter the kingdom of heaven? And I've taken them to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. What a glorious passage. And Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, remember that story? He was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the scriptures. And boy, I tell you, if you're a Christian, think about that. An opportunity, a man hungering for the Word of God, sitting there with a question on his lips. And Philip went up to him and said, can I help you, basically? And the man said, yes. What can I do to be baptized? What prevents me from being saved? What a question. Are you ready, if somebody asks you that question today, to give an answer? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he, the man, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm telling you, I think he was saved right at that moment. A confession of faith. But not in the NIV or the new versions. That entire passage is missing there. There is no confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You won't find it in your false versions. Let me give you another one. I think this is mighty. Think about this. I bet everybody knows this verse. The old devil said, if you're the Son of God, he was tempting Christ in the wilderness. Just tell this stone to become bread. I know you're hungry. If you're really the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Friends, that's not in the new versions. The very words, but by every word of God, has been removed. Man shall not live on bread alone, says the NIV. And then it's mute. Oh, the devil must love that. And these new versions. You know, talking with a good friend of mine, Dr. Joseph Chambers from out in North Carolina way, he has a radio program, and he interviewed one of the contributors, one of the people who helped put together the New International Version of the Bible. It's a woman, Dr. Virginia Mollenkott. Very unusual lady. She was the English professor who helped to choose various words that would best be in the NIV. Now, Virginia Mollenkott is a different kind of woman. You see, she is a lesbian. And not only is she a lesbian, but she is proud of being a lesbian. She says God made her a lesbian and wants her to be a lesbian. In fact, I have some pages from her book called Sensuous Spirituality. Out from Fundamentalism by Virginia Mollenkott. And she says in here, just one word, she says, the term God ought to imply the presence of a goddess component. Oh, she's a goddess worshiper as well. Recently, she was at this Reimagining God conference, and she said that she did not believe that the blood of Christ means anything. She said, if it's true that Jesus went to the cross, then God was an abusive father. He abused his child. She does not believe that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. She, this lesbian activist, was one of the contributors for the NIV and the choosers of the words of the NIV. And I'm telling you, my friends, the Bible makes very clear, a corrupt tree will produce corrupt fruit. You say, well, that text, just because she was a lesbian, maybe she's a great scholar. Surely she didn't let her biases show. Then why is it that the very word sodomy and sodomizers is not found anymore in the Old Testament in the NIV? Did you know that, my friends? 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 43 to 46, says in the King James, and the remnant of the Sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. The Sodomites taken out of the land. No homosexuality there, my friends. But wait, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11 through 12. And Asa also did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and did as David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land. But you won't find that in the NIV and the New Versions. Could it be that Virginia Mollenkott had her way? I do not know, but I do know this. They have changed it. It's no longer sodomites, it's the shrine prostitutes. He took the shrine prostitutes out of the land. I'm telling you, my friends, we've got a serious problem with these New Versions. A man told me recently, he said, is there any problem in terms of Bible prophecy in the New Versions? And I said, absolutely. Let me give you a quick one. Revelation 17. The woman, Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, and she rides the beast. She is astride the beast, but not in the New Version. It's not in the New American Standard. She's carried by the beast. I propose to you that there is a great distinction between being astride the beast and being simply carried by it. Think about it. Let me give you another one. A verse that I believe is very, very descriptive, and I'm telling you it's very powerful when you study it. Here is Revelation 13, verse 18. It says, here is wisdom. Let me tell you something. When God gives you that message, you better listen up. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, there are many out there saying, I don't believe there's going to be a personal Antichrist. I don't believe there's going to be a man with the number 666. I don't believe any of these things. I'm telling you, they're out there. They may even be the majority of people who call themselves Christians. They deny Bible prophecy. They say, oh, that happened in 70 AD when the Roman general Titus demolished Jerusalem. Oh, wait, that happened back during... And they want to tell you that the Bible is just symbolic in Revelation and Daniel and so forth. And you know what? The New Versions help them out. Let me read it to you. This calls for wisdom. No, here is wisdom. No, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Simply, this calls for wisdom in the NIV. And then it says this. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. Let me read that again. For it is man's number. What does the King James say? For it is the number of a man. And that's why many of the people who doubt prophecy or skeptics, they say, don't you understand? Six is just symbolic of unregenerated man. That's man's number that doesn't know God. There is no personal Antichrist. The New Versions agree with them. It is man's number. But I'm telling you, by authority of the King James Bible, the pure word of God, it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And you will have understanding if you count the number of that beast. Now back to Lucifer very quickly, and I'll end with Lucifer. I mean, that's the ending anyway, when he's thrown into the pit of hell forever and ever. We may as well end with him, right? God has put a finish to him. We may as well in this little talk this morning. Recently reading a very interesting book, the new book put out by International Freemasonry. That's right, Freemasonry, which is a satanic cult, my friends, believe it or not. Not that every person who is a Mason even knows. In fact, I could line 20 Masons up today and ask them if they had read three key books, and I'm telling you, no more than one out of 20 would say, yes, I've read those three textbooks. They are the top three textbooks of Freemasonry today, and most Masons don't even know their own textbooks. Sort of reminds me a lot of Christians who don't even know God's Word, the Bible. So I'm not impugning the integrity of every Mason. I'm simply saying they're confused and mixed up, but they are involved in a devilish cult, nevertheless. The name of the book is A Pilgrim's Path. Didn't want to carry a whole library with me, but I do have a few pages. Very interesting book, subtitled Freemasonry and the Religious Right. Oh, they don't like the religious right, not the Masons. It's by John J. Robinson. He's a Freemason historian and very, very widely acclaimed. He recently passed away. This was his final book, his final testament, in which he blasts fundamental Christianity. And let me tell you one of the things that he's upset about fundamentalist Christians for. You see, back in the 1800s, there was a book that became almost like the textbook, almost a Bible, a manual for Freemasonry. It's called Morals and Dogma by the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, Albert Pike. Powerful man. His tomb, T-O-M-B, actually is in International Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite headquarters in Washington, D.C. That's where his body lies interred. Right next to the Department of Justice building in Washington, D.C. is a little piece of land that the U.S. government donated and gave to the Masons. And there, right next to our Justice Department building, is a statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C. This same Albert Pike was the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. Isn't it ironic? Washington, D.C., which is about 70% Afro-American now today, and there is the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, enshrined in a statue next to the Department of Justice building. For he, it was, who gave Freemasonry its modern 33 initiation ceremonies and this key textbook, Morals and Dogma, A Devil of a Man. Now, Albert Pike said something of Lucifer. He said, Lucifer is the God of light. Doubt it not. Oh, my friends, a satanic man. And you see, there's a real problem for the Masons, according to Mr. Robinson. Because if Albert Pike said that Lucifer is the God of light, but Isaiah in the King James said his destiny is the pit of hell, he it is who was the fallen one from heaven, we got a problem. Those two versions don't make it, do they? And Mr. Robinson is very upset at this King James Bible. Maybe I could just read to you a little bit about what he says. First of all, he just roars about what the fundamentalist Christians have done to this great entity, Lucifer. He says, according to the Christians, Lucifer, the morning star, became a disobedient angel, cast out of heaven to rule eternally in hell. Theologians, writers, and poets interwove the myth of Lucifer, with the doctrine of the fall. And in Christian tradition, because of the King James Bible, Lucifer is now the same as Satan, the devil, and ironically, the prince of darkness. Amen. That's right. Amen. He absolutely is. But listen, Robinson says, but thanks to the new translations of the Bible, this Christian era has been fixed. He says the work on a new translation of the Bible, direct from the sources, and I'm going to be talking, I talk about the Worldwide Church of the Devil, you'll see the source. I'm telling you, these new versions came from the pit of hell. That one of them, they were based on two manuscripts, one of them came out of the wastebasket of a Catholic monastery that has skulls and bones strewn all over the floor. That's where these new versions came from, my friends. demonized versions of the Bible. But here's what Robinson says in A Pilgrim's Path. He says that the new translation of the Bible is being put together by the most distinguished biblical scholars and specialists in the world who were invited to contribute. I suppose Virginia Mollenkopf was one of those. Every delegate was given the opportunity to express his own views on every verse. Oh, this must have been one of those pro-choice Bibles. Whatever you believe. You think I was making a joke about Baskin-Robbins ice cream? Bill Anderson, he's the president of the Christian Booksellers Association. That's all of those publishers that are making millions of dollars from putting out the false new versions. You see, they're all copyrighted. You can't even use them without getting permission and maybe paying. Recently in Christian Retailing Magazine, the money-making magazine of bookstores, Mr. Anderson said, "Now we have a Bible for everyone. It's like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors." Yes, indeed, it sure is. He said it, I didn't. In any case, Mr. Robinson goes on to say that now the new versions have fixed the problem of Lucifer. Yes, they fixed the problem of Lucifer. But I'm afraid that God already fixed that problem many, many eons ago, regardless of what the Masons do. Well, I want to leave with this thought for you. It's a verse I especially like. It's the word of God set forth in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." Do you know how pure can be? I don't know if we've ever seen anything pure on earth. There's no water. You could take a sample, and I'm sure any chemist would say, well, it has a few impurities in it. It has a few problems. It's safe. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about safety with the word of God because it's pure. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times."
Well, friends, thank you for listening to the message that I gave at the Bible Prophecy Conference in Canada. Again, I apologize that it ended so abruptly. But one of the things that you cannot end abruptly is God's Word. He said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Are you continuing in God's word, the King James Bible? If you are, then Jesus said, "You are my disciples indeed." Not only that, but we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and stand against in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Do you have the whole armor of God? Well, if you have the King James Bible, my friend, if you pray to our Lord for protection, even the Lord's Prayer, the words that are missing in the new versions, "But deliver us from evil." God is good. God is just. He is merciful, and he will do so. It's been my privilege to be with you here and every week on World of Prophecy. As you know, we have many books, tapes, and videos to offer you, resources, Bible resources that you need. You can write to us, text Mars, World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. And we'll send you a list of those resources, an order form, and even give you a free subscription to our newsletter, Flashpoint. Well, friends, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to World of Prophecy. Jesus said he was coming again. I believe it. Do you? Are you ready? Until next week, Tex Mars. Tune in each week at this same time, same station, heard around the world. Tune in and discover a world of prophecy.
You've been listening to World of Prophecy with your host, Tex Mars.